Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of About Abroad, where it's my job to introduce you to people who have built amazing lives for themselves in various foreign corners of the globe. We're talking with expats and thought leaders about moving abroad, remote work, visas, and all the fun and practical knowledge that you need to know to follow in their footsteps. If you've ever dreamed of making a life for yourself overseas, maybe working remotely or embracing long-term travel, retiring or studying abroad, or even just taking a peek inside life beyond your borders, you've landed in the right place. My guest today literally embodies everything that this show is supposed to be about. His name is Iwu. He is a Polish citizen currently living in Vietnam and has a ton of knowledge to share about what life is like in Vietnam, how you can follow in his footsteps to call Southeast Asia your home, whether you want that to be Vietnam or other countries in Southeast Asia, because as I come to find out, he's lived all over there. But also, he's the CEO and founder of a company called Remote How, which trains individuals and teams on how to make remote work work. As you might guess, they're a fully remote team, which is spread across the globe, and Iwu is leading them from Vietnam as we speak. So I found the place that he comes from super cool and very much so the embodiment of what this show is all about. He's leading remote teams. He's teaching other people how to do the same. He's living as an expat currently in Vietnam, but previously all over the world. And it was just an absolute blast catching up with him. So I hope you'll find the awesome practical information that you need to do the same as Iwu, but also a lot of fun along the way. Because it was, as I said, a real pleasure and a lot of fun catching up with him and learning more about his past. So please help me in welcoming Iwu to About Abroad.
Chase, it's a great pleasure to be. Our virtual relationship is already almost 3 years old, and now it's in another episode. So I'm delighted to be your guest.
Another chapter in the book.
Chapter, yes.
No, I think it's so interesting. You know, when I started thinking about this show, you were one of the first people that came to my mind because you live right at this crossroads of what this show is all about. It's not a show about remote work, but it is a show about living abroad, and remote work facilitates that in so many different ways. And it's just been expedited so much this year. And you, as an expat coming from Europe, now living in Southeast Asia and Vietnam, and having lived in so many different countries, following your Instagram account is like a little bit addicting. So you're really like one of the first people that came to my mind when I started thinking about this show, and I'm super happy that you're here now.
I'm glad to hear that. And yeah, like to your point, 2020 in so many ways will be creating very interesting and good future, because it will meet the expectations of millions of people about the freedom where they can live and how they can work. We've been doing this for a couple of years already. So that's why I think it will be interesting to share some of our thoughts and experiences, and also the mistakes that we've made throughout these years. Feels like 2021 or maybe 2022 could be the year when the biggest migration or one of the biggest migrations in the humankind history will happen. The more we know how to do it right, the better. So happy to share some stuff on this.
Well, I imagine you've got plenty to share, and so let's dive right in. And first, let's set the stage a little bit for those the few people that already don't know who Iwu is, and who Remote How is, and what you guys do. Starting real quick with what, talk about a little bit about the company, and sort of what your focus is, just in a nutshell, and then where you're currently calling home.
Of course. So Remote House since 2017 is helping companies go remote, go hybrid remote, or take their existing remote work environment to the next level. So we are basically this knowledge transfer between the practitioners, remote companies. You might know one of them is called Doist, and there's this guy called Chase. Yeah. And he knows some stuff how to do remote work. So Remote How connected with the top experts in the world that the practitioners on remote work, and through projects mainly around education, Remote How Academy, for example, is helping other companies to learn from the experience of these companies. Remote How Academy, Remote Future Summit, so different initiatives with the common denominator to show companies, to show individuals how to do remote work right. So it's both for the benefit of the business as well as the individual to, at the end of the day, live a happier life. So that's Remote How. And today I'm calling from Vietnam. It's a good question if it's our home or not, because when we left States in 2018, then it was really hard to tell where is our home. Like, we have our home base still in Poland. But for example, in Vietnam, we are since January this year. We didn't plan on staying that long. Of course, the situation in the world forced us, slash we are not trapped here, but yeah, today is it's Vietnam. It's beautiful Hoi An, which we felt in love last year. It's this magical town at the coast of Vietnam, near Da Nang, old French town. So we'll probably talk a lot about the magic of this place, but this is where I'm right now, looking at the rice fields.
How did you choose Vietnam at first? Like, yeah, so I actually, first of all, did not know that you went from the States to Vietnam. I didn't really, know the path. I'm sure there were stops in between.
Oh, yeah, there were many stops in between. But
we'll get into that.
But last year when we, probably like the first stop, or like our first experience long term with Asia was in Bali 2.5 years ago. So that was our first. I don't like the word digital nomad. I prefer the word slowmat. So for the sake of this conversation, I will be using that, the slowmat term. So
I am adopting this term. Thank you. I love it.
You're welcome.
Digital nomad does have a negative connotation, doesn't it?
It does. Yes, yeah. It does. And like. Okay, this is a different topic.
We can circle back to it or dive into it right now. Whatever you think.
Yes. Okay. Maybe a couple of sentences. I mean, there is this negative connotation of a person that is probably not working or almost not working, or if they are working, they are working from the beach or from the pool, and it's just this like slacking off thing, which is like totally not true, because remote workers, let's talk about them in general, are really working hard, and they are doers, they are delivering. So of course you will find people that choose this lifestyle to work less, but this is their choice, and this is like amazing if you can work 10 hours a week and get everything what you want in life, right? So there are just different perspectives. But this image of a digital nomad at the beach, or a digital nomad that is partying, has some negative connotations to that. So that's why a slowmat as a person that it's less about hopping between places and constantly changing the destination, but rather, like, for example, us coming to Vietnam and being here, for example, for a couple of months in one place. And from here, we can do some shorter trips for a couple of days, or maybe sometimes even for a couple of weeks, but we have a home base. So circling back to our first stop in Asia, it was Bali. Then we came back to Europe, and then we came back to Asia, and the first stop was Vietnam. After Vietnam, we did Cambodia, Thailand, Hong Kong. So that was last year. We fell in love in Vietnam, in Hoi An, and that's where we're like, okay, we are coming back. We came back and we are still here.
Beautiful. I saw something, I believe you posted at some point about how you, at one point several years ago, you had considered moving to Thailand and maybe like kind of thrown it out there as a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ended up being Vietnam, that where you are now. I'm curious first of all, it's really cool to, I can totally empathize with that. Like, one day I'm going to live in X, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. seeing that come to fruition is super cool. So setting that to the side, I feel that way about Europe. Europe was sort of that for me. Like, I just fell in love with it early on and said, one day I'm going to live there. And I didn't really think it was possible, but here I am. And so for you, that place seemed to be Thailand, and correct me if I'm wrong.
But it ended up being
Vietnam. And so I'm curious about how you made that decision. And if you can talk a little bit about like connecting those dots from the day it was a dream to the day it became a reality.
Yes. So it was exactly 6 years ago, because you're referring to my pause. It was like a memory of us being in, I believe it was Koh Yao, one of the islands in Thailand. And that was back in the days when I had a full-time job that was remote work friendly, but it was not something that I was using to go to different countries and live and work there. It was more of going for a couple of days somewhere within Poland, etc. So 6 years ago, I was like, oh my goodness, it would be so cool if I can work from anywhere. And right now I'm in Thailand, so like, why not, right? But then it was really just like, oh, you're a crazy guy. And I hear it quite often. And I was like, okay, yeah, another crazy idea. And then basically through the next couple of years, not much happened. Then the whole story with us moving to US happened just before I started to think, hey, maybe I should leave my current job and maybe let's do some traveling. But then I was like, okay, Eva, we need you in the US. Can you move to Austin? So then this episode happened. And then I was like, okay, it will be still kind of cool to travel. And we started to talk with people about it in Austin, which is like, I'm a huge ambassador of Austin. If we will have anyone listening to the podcast from Austin, I'm so jealous that you guys are still there.
Where were you living in the US? Was Austin?
Yes. It was Austin, Texas.
I had no idea. I want to come back to that too, but hear a little bit more about a Polish guy living in Texas, but we'll
there are a lot of stories. Yeah. So basically we are in the US and we are like, oh, it will be so cool if we can have more freedom, et cetera. And then we find more and more people, especially within the company I work for, ShopGate, with a similar age, millennial. They're like, yeah, if we can have more freedom, etc., etc. So that was also the moment when we started to realize that one of the ways how you can get this freedom is remote work, but remote work in the sense of that you're working full time, not to become a freelancer. It's consultant, but hey, I wanted to keep my the standard 9-to-5 job, but I wanted to be independent, location agnostic, right? Mm-hmm. So that was a kind of a starting point that, okay, so this lifestyle is possible. Maybe we can also be able to help others. And then the whole story with remote house started. And then when we were thinking about the places where we will go, we were always, when we were traveling before, we were trying to avoid the cliches and like the obvious places where everyone go. Of course, we've been to these places as well. I'm not saying no, but like the North Star is that we're trying to like go under the radar and like to some different rather weirder places. And Vietnam is like, I feel like somewhere in between, because it's not as hyped as Thailand, for example. But it's already explored in a couple of places, so it's not that that everywhere you have tourists, which is also amazing. So that's sort of like, okay, we've read about Vietnam, we already loved the cuisine before we came, so like, oh, we will have pho, and we discovered that pho is one of that 10 things that we love eating here. It was like, okay, let's give it a try, and that was a very it was a pretty spontaneous decision. It wasn't like months of studying and understanding how we can get here.
Sometimes that's the best way, right? Like, you wing it and figure it out as you go. Yeah. And generally, I think it turns out pretty good. I have a few stories in my back pocket where it didn't turn out so good, but I think that's great. And so you mentioned something that I was hoping we would get to, this, the kind of like difference between there is sort of a stereotype with Thailand. Bali, I think, also falls into this this bucket where it's sort of been, I don't want to say tainted, but maybe tainted a little bit by the impact from tourism. You just sort of expect to go to, and I know it's painting super broad strokes, but like, you sort of expect to go to Bali and see a bunch of Westerners, you know, there working digital nomad-y, slow-mad-y. Yeah. I think exactly as you said, and that's not to take away from those places, because they are incredible, and
they are.
It's not, definitely not taking anything away from them, but I do it does resonate with me the same as it does with you, like finding those sort of hidden gems that have maybe not quite gotten to that. Maybe the infrastructure's there and all the elements of that you need to be able to continue working and feel comfortable and all that, that's there, but it's not quite the mainstream yet. And that's sort of that sweet spot, it seems like, you found in Vietnam.
Yes, but there is one, I don't want to say a hidden gem, but I feel like it's still in the category of many places in Vietnam, but it's actually in Thailand. It's an island called Koh Phangan, which is next to Koh Samui, the hyper touristic place. And then Koh Phangan is this pretty, there are two sides of the island. Of course, you can do a more of a research, but like generalizing, there's a party one where there are full moon parties, and there is a other part which is more like hippie yoga style. So you can still find both in Thailand as well as in Bali, places that are say less crowded and like less occupied by people that are going there because it's Bali or because it's Thailand. Those are the hyped digital nomad locations. But still, I feel like if someone is going for the first time, and the image that is painted in like the digital world, that the Instagram, how this lifestyle look like, and they're like, oh, I also would like to live like this, it's a good idea to try this out, and be like, okay, I've been to Canggu, I've been to all the co-working, co-living places, like I've been to Chiang Mai, etc. And then you make a choice like, oh, maybe I like it, or maybe I will move on and then try some other stuff. So like you say, we're not demonizing these places. They have their magic as well. But yeah, it's kind of like the matter of what are the personal preferences.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about those personal preferences in terms of Vietnam and, starting very, very broad and get down to the nitty gritty a little bit later. What is it about in particular, especially thinking about this from the aspect or the perspective of a Westerner, perhaps a European or a North American, or somebody that might be perhaps newly found remote work, which is a big percentage of the population that can has now been, this has sort of been expedited. People can now suddenly find themselves with this freedom. A lot of people I'm talking to are considering, hey, I can now live somewhere else. I'm considering Southeast Asia. If they're considering Vietnam or maybe even if they're just considering another place, why might Vietnam be a good place to move to as an expat and remote worker?
Yes. So it depends what resonates best with you. So let's start with a couple of scenarios. If you're a foodie like I am, Vietnam's cuisine is outstanding. The street food here is amazing. So if you're looking for a place with great food, then it's definitely a selling point for Vietnam. The other aspect, which also is pretty important, the life here is very affordable. And if like even last year when we came here, I did an experiment and I was like, normally I don't do it. I was like, okay, now for a month I will be writing down everything that we buy, like what we pay for the flat, for the scooter, etc. And on average, if you're coming here as a couple, so you're sharing one room or a house, and then you're going out and eating. Basically, in Vietnam, the food is so cheap and like affordable for everyone that basically you eat all meals or like most of your meals outside. So last year we almost didn't cook. Now we are a bit longer, and like sometimes you feel like, oh, now it's the time to do some Western food. And like we have already checked the restaurant, so like let's eat something here. But then the calculation, it was like $500 a month, like $700 a month, including like even a co-working space per person. Yeah, so that would be the Vietnam pitch to people that are looking for a place that is quite affordable. Then the third thing, which actually I should have started with this, people. Mm. People in Vietnam are, and this is the comparison I have, are the most friendly I've met, and as I mentioned before, in comparison to Bali, Hong Kong, Cambodia, Thailand, and probably
Texas.
I forgot about some. that's a different part of Asia, but yeah. yeah, but like people here, although English, like we see that there is an improvement and more people speak English, but even if they don't, like people are smiling to you, people are saying hi to you, but hi and smiling in this like very honest way, not like that, oh, this situation requires me to say hi or to smile at someone. It's like really, really honest, and they like foreigners. And this is a little side note, and this is not my experience, but what I've heard from other people, and you can actually look it up online as well, is that, for example, in Thailand, there has been kind of a shift in recent years how locals see foreigners, and they are apparently not that welcoming as they were earlier. So also having this in mind, and comparing to other places, people in Vietnam are helping you to call Vietnam home, because those are like these small things that you're going to the local market, and the ladies there, of course, like speak zero English, but you're using your hands, and like it works out fine. So I would say that the third thing, people. Then obvious, but I will mention it anyway, weather. So although it's winter right now in December, it's the end of the rainy season, but it still means that it's like 20, 25 degrees. Yes, it rains, but then basically starting from February up until end of September, this is like the best moment to come to Vietnam. Summer is extremely hot, and it's like 40 Celsius and quite humid, but like the weather all year long is amazing. Okay, so that was the number four. There will be a lot, so you need to tell me at some point to stop, but I still want to mention a few.
We've got time to go to 12, so no, just keep rolling on.
That's a challenge. A couple. Yeah, go ahead.
No. Sorry, please continue.
So another selling point for Vietnam is like the variety of landscape. We just spent a month up north in mountains, like doing motorbike trips after living at the coast, and for also a few months we were living almost at the beach, and then from, for example, Hoi An, you can just drive 1 hour towards the border with Laos, and you already have some smaller mountains. Then south you have like basically the there are so many different landscapes here and things that you can do, that I would say that this is another selling point. I mean, I don't know, I can go on and off, but I hopefully I already convinced someone else thinking about Vietnam, but if it's not enough, they hit me up on LinkedIn and I will figure out some more.
You convinced me. I'm like packing bags and booking tickets in the background here.
The borders are closed right now, so yeah.
not a good time to buy a ticket.
Not a good time.
Yeah, talking about the landscape though. I mean, you mentioned the mountains to the sea. So like Vietnam's a relatively small country small area compared to just maybe somebody coming from a European country, certainly North America or Australia or something. So this is, it's relatively small, but like you said, packed with these different landscapes. I believe I just saw that you climbed the highest mountain there, which was like over 3,000 meters, correct?
That was correct. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's small. Like, of course, if you compare it to it to the US, for example, it's rather small, but it's kind of like it's pretty long. So, yeah. For example, if you fly from Hanoi to Ho Chi Minh, if I'm not mistaken, it's like around 2 hours or something. But in some places, the country, as you said, is like very, very thin. But yeah, we did the 3,000, the 3,000 mountain. Of course, we didn't hike because we didn't have that much time because I needed to work. Yes, I'm a loser. But still, it was pretty amazing to be above the clouds and see a totally different landscape than the one that we have here, which about the landscape, I of course forgot to mention the rice field. So whenever there is a season, everything is here green around, which also brings a lot of positive vibes every day when you wake up.
Beautiful. Yeah, I mean, I totally threw a very, it's a very American-y, uber American-y thing to say, a place like that is small, but in fairness, you know, like I come from a state that is not considered a big state, and it takes 7 hours to drive from one tip to the other tip,
know,
so I do find like what's big and small is sort of like relative sometimes. And from my perspective, I'm like, wow, that's amazing. You can have 3,000 meter, you know, 10,000 foot peaks and the same quote unquote relatively small space. Yeah. Where there's also these beautiful coasts. I mean, Vietnam's really known for the coastlines. I think when people picture it, they picture they picture Pho and beach. So
yes,
that's amazing. Yes, that's there.
And they also this is probably the very specific coast thing in Halong Bay. These like kind of small forest mountains at the coast. So yeah, like maybe to wrap up the landscape, it's extremely unique in so many places and very untouched. So you can really get lost in the middle of nowhere where it's like, whoa, is it real? Is it a movie? And I'm the only like foreigner and everyone is around is a local. So it's just magic. If someone is looking for such experience, then Vietnam, absolutely yes.
Yeah, sounds incredible. What about infrastructure in terms of, like, you know, you mentioned co-working, so there's obviously co-workings, mm-hmm. and there's going to be a dichotomy between the city and the countryside and all of that, but just basically very generally speaking, like, mm-hmm. do you feel internet connection and spaces to work and finding a place that's like a renting an apartment or a house or something with suitable working conditions, and maybe if somebody's got a family and they're considering mm-hmm. Vietnam, all these things, you feel things are in a good place, or is there work to be done?
100% yes on the internet. I was surprised that even in the middle of nowhere in Vietnamese mountains, you're still getting 3G, sometimes even 4G. So internet, yes. When it comes to co-living, okay, let's start with co-working spaces. Larger cities like Hanoi, Saigon, Da Nang, yes. We are in small city next to Da Nang, Hoi An. There are also co-working spaces. So in cities, yes. Then looking at the accommodation, again, either bigger cities or places where there are tourists, you have everything starting from hotels to Airbnbs, villas, everything is in here. But then if you're obviously going more rural, then you need to lower your expectations, but still you can work because of internet. So it's still absolutely doable. When it comes to the infrastructure, like roads, it's really good, and you travel here with a motorbike, so that's also a very interesting experience not to use a car. I sold my car 4 years ago. Okay, we had a car in the US at the time, but like in general, not having a car is a very interesting experiment, and I think I'll continue that way. So this part of infrastructure, yeah, so I would say just to summarize, everything what should be here exists. Also for families, there are schools, there are international schools, the medical infrastructure like hospitals, everything is, but of course rather you need to look for private ones, because although Vietnam is growing extremely fast, like their economy is booming in last years. It was still like 30 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, alongside with Cambodia, like one of the poorest countries in the world. So they still have quite some stuff to be done. But for example, comparing them to Cambodia, there's like two different worlds.
Oh, wow. How so? Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, probably there's like one main thing that Cambodia is basically being bought by China bite by bite. There's, for example, one place at the coast, like beautiful place, it's called Sihanoukville, that 10 years ago, it was like a hippie location. And right now there are over 100 casinos that Chinese investors are building. So that kind of shows you also the approach to many things, but Vietnam is more careful, for example, on this front. Also we were talking about cuisine, Cambodian food didn't positively surprise us, and so on and so on. So we gotcha. We've been there for like a month, and we were like, okay, check plus for Vietnam for sure.
I do know this feeling. Like you can't help but draw these comparisons, especially when you fall in love with a place and you go somewhere. A lot of times, I find I've adopted the same mentality as you. I really enjoy having a home base in a foreign place, and then just jumping off for for vacations from there, exploring, like the explorer in me is there. Like I can't sit sedentary for too long. 2020 has definitely tested that, a lot, but I love doing these jumping offs.
Yeah. What is your favorite place in Europe that you would surprise me with? Like something that is not obvious.
Yeah, no, an obvious place. Would it should it be a place I would want to live or a place to visit? Because that's the dichotomy I'm getting at, is like there's a big difference between a place you really want to travel to and experience, and then you say, I've had that, I want to go back.
Yeah, so let's do both. What was the place to just visit, or what was the place where you can live in Europe? Yeah, besides the beloved Spain.
We'll be right back to the show after a quick break for a note from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by my friends over at Lexity. I've lived abroad in various countries, and one common denominator I've found is that dealing with foreign bureaucracy is a nightmare. Trying to navigate visa and immigration waters in another language is not something I'd recommend ever trying on your own, even for the most experienced of us. So when I recently had to renew my Spanish visa again, I turned it over to the pros at Lexity. They've already helped more than 5,000 expats and digital nomads find a home and thrive in countries like Portugal, or in my case, Spain, also Italy, France, and Greece. Some very desirable locations indeed. So whether you're trying to obtain your first visa abroad, purchase a property, or work through international tax issues, Lexity's team of friendly lawyers is here to simplify your journey. The team is super knowledgeable, bilingual, and thorough, and I seriously cannot recommend their services enough. My experience working with them has been incredible, and I can honestly say I don't know that I would have EU permanent residency if it wasn't for the help of the team at Lexity. So if you're ready to make your move abroad, then Lexity is offering an exclusive discount to About Abroad listeners. Grab 10% off your first service with the code AboutAbroad2023 and learn more over at Lexity.com in the show notes, and start your abroad journey today. If you've made it this far into the episode and you're still enjoying yourself, then I would love to ask a quick favor. Open up the app that you're using to listen to this podcast and leave a quick review. You can do this in Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and really just about any platform that allows podcast listening now. If you can't find that in the interface of the app, then scroll down in the show notes and find ratethispodcast.com/aboutabroad, and you should be able to leave it from there. Thanks so much, guys. We really appreciate it and hope you enjoy the rest of the show. The first place that comes to mind that's a place that I love to visit, and it's not off the beaten track at all anymore, but the first time I went there, I feel like it sort of was, at least, is the Cinque Terre in Italy, mm-hmm. and the five little villages along the Mediterranean, and they're just beautiful mm-hmm. little towns, and you can walk along the cliff sides from one to the next, and I feel like I've been there a couple times now, and the first time I went there, it was totally different. It's very, very heavily overrun by tourists now, unfortunately, but I still love mm-hmm. going there. But it was just so fun for me to be able to walk from town to town, sit in these little squares overlooking the ocean and the mountains mm-hmm. and have some delicious Italian food. But after visiting, you know, I was like, I don't want to live in one of these little villages. But I loved visiting it and just spending, you know, four or five days there. It was just magical.
Yeah. Plus one, you're talking to a huge Italian fan. Like, I could eat pizza every day. Probably my wife even more is into Italy. So I definitely feel this vibe. Okay. Yeah. So now the place to live.
The place to live. Ah, this is a great question. It's a bit interesting. I am a mountain guy living mm-hmm. on the coast here in Valencia in Spain. Sort of like you, I thought that I was just going to be here in Valencia for like 3 months. Mm-hmm. and then we'd move on. We had a 1 year visa for Spain, and we planned to slow mad through Spain for a year in three or four different locations, but we fell in love with the city and we've stayed and you know, that's another story. But the big thing that I miss is the mountains. And, mm-hmm. and I escape to the mountains pretty much whenever I have vacation. And mm-hmm. I have really, there's two, the obvious one is the Alps, mm-hmm. and the Swiss Alps in particular,
yes.
the the Bavarian Alps in Germany, the sort of the pre-Alps there in southern Germany, and the culture of southern Germany in Bavaria just like really, really calls to me. And I love, one of my favorite trips that we've taken since we've been living here in Europe was train tripping down the Romantic Road, they call it, which is a series of like 25 villages through southern Germany that are just super picturesque and just but tucked up in these green rolling mountains that remind me a lot of the Appalachian Mountains back in the US where I'm from. So that's one answer I'm gonna go with and probably the answer. But I've also really fallen in love with the Pyrenees that cut the border between France and Germany. I mean between Spain and France. And I've just discovered so many cool little areas in tucked up in these mountains that are sort of off the beaten track, I feel like. Like I don't think they're definitely not mainstream places. The Aran Valley, for instance, in Spain is just incredible.
Plus one to Swiss Alps. I'm also a big fan. It's just a bit pricey to to live there. And, so, but yeah, that's a different story. What is? I'm just curious. And sorry, that's my last question. That's your show. But
you
I'm
keep
really
the questions
curious.
Coming. This is what makes this fun.
What is your take on Canary Islands as a place to live? Because I feel like you already can see that the boom is coming, and when the pandemic is over, like there will be so many people that will move permanently or will be spending 3 or 6 months of the year there because of the friendly time zone. What do you think about this destination?
So full disclosure, I have not been there yet. I was supposed to go there in November, but obviously 2020 had other plans. And so I actually currently have a plan to visit there in Q1 if travel within Spain is possible. At the time of this recording, the borders are closed between provinces. But having said that, I believe you and I are both connected with Nacho at ReePeople down there. And I've had the pleasure of talking with a lot of people who have made the Canary Islands home, or like you said, spend several months a year there. So I couldn't agree more with everything you just said. Like it's on the cusp of becoming one of those like mainstream destinations to go to for remote work, I think.
Yeah. And the other one, I think when people are looking for a sea life would be Lisbon. Like we lived in Lisbon for a month 2 years ago, and I was like, wow, I feel like this is my favorite city life in Europe. Like like everything clicks there, and I can also see this, that it's kind of like the, I don't know if that would be right to say, but like a Berlin of the west of Europe, but like with a nicer weather. some things were pretty similar, like kind of the vibe that young people in like the pretty chilled atmosphere. Sometimes you can say it, it's too chilled if you want to get some stuff done, but they're like, okay, it's a different mentality. Like you cannot be like, it's not Germany or like any other country, and people are like, okay, get things going. So if you change your mindset about that, I think Lisbon is also cool. Yeah,
Spain has sort of prepared me for Portugal, I think. Down one step and then you got to slow down a second step in Portugal. But I totally agree. Lisbon is one of those places. In fact, I would say it's my, I've said before, it's like my favorite capital city in Europe. I really, really like the vibe there. And I'm not like, I don't really consider myself like a big city person. Like, I mean, Valencia is a city of about 1 million. And I could live in a bigger city, but I'm not like one of those that's dying for London or LA or Buenos Aires or something like, I kind of like that middle sized city. So Lisbon really kind of fits that, as it's a big, it's like a little big city, I feel like, and I could totally live there.
It's a walkable city. And this is what makes a city amazing. If you can have like a half an hour walk and you can basically get anywhere in the center. And for example, you can have, you can sit with a view on the beach, and like, Lisbon. Yes. Vietnam, and Lisbon and Austin.
Let's touch on Austin real quick. What was, we don't have to go into all the details, cause I do want to get back to Vietnam and some logistics, but Polish guy moving to Austin, fill in the blanks.
So definitely that the expectations were different, the reality, but in a good way. So of course the stereotype about Texas, like cowboys, rodeo, and barbecue. The barbecue was there in Austin, but Austin is this weird little dot. People call it the blue dot in the red state. That is all about the freedom, all about, I wanted to say have fun, but like people work there and it's like a normal life, but there is like so many ways how you can enjoy life, either if we are talking about music festivals or concerts that are happening every day, or if we are talking about having an active outdoor life, like jogging near the lake or hiking. Like there are so many things you can do on the weekend. It's like it was probably like the most active time in my life, when like basically every weekend we were doing something with friends. People are of course like extremely open and welcoming, so that was also something that we really appreciated, as it was quite a big step for us. Food, of course, as foodies with my wife Ola, we were stoked by the hundreds of trailers with the food from all over the world, and of course the Tex-Mex that you can get in Austin is probably like one of the best places, or the best place in Texas to get Tex-Mex. So food, people, weather, vibe, those were and there's one extremely important thing, and I know that this one will resonate with you as a dog lover. This is the place where you can go to a park and you will be playing with literally 100 dogs without leashes. Each single of them will be extremely friendly, and that was like mind-blowing to us as dog lovers. We never seen something like this in our life. So basically in Austin you don't have places for kids to play, you have dog parks. It's kind of a different story there. So yeah, if you're interested in this kind of things to do in your life, Austin is definitely a place to go. And we ended up there because the company that I worked for, a German company, offered me to relocate and help scale their business in the US. So it was again a pretty spontaneous decision, because the CEO was at some point was like, okay, Ivo, so can you move here? when I was one of the times when I was visiting, and I was like, yeah, sure. And then, for example, we organized a wedding in 2 weeks. So it was this kind of YOLO that happened. So I have very, very good memories with Austin.
So spontaneous. And then the wedding aspect, throwing the wedding aspect, nice little curveball there at the end too. So let's go back to Vietnam real quick. And for someone that might be considering going there, like kind of talking logistically about residency visas, arriving, when you have to, how long you can be there. I know you're not I'm not asking you to be a visa expert here, but just generally speaking, like what are what's the environment like around foreigners, particularly, you know, somebody that might be listening to this show, that, you know, around arriving, how long can you generally stay and that sort of thing? Mm-hmm.
Yes. So you need to apply online and get it's kind of like a permission / visa. There are some agencies, they're creating like invitations for you, etc. So it sounds a bit complex, but it's super straightforward. The one thing is that you rather need to know about coming to Vietnam in advance of like a couple of weeks. So you cannot be like, oh, I'm flying tomorrow to Vietnam. At least I'm speaking from the perspective of a person that has a Polish citizenship, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that applies for majority of countries. But then you can get either a 1 month visa or a 3 month visa, which then can be extended. I don't want to say how many times and what are the conditions, but for example, what people are doing here is a visa run to Laos from Hoi An. So they're going to Laos and they're coming back, and this is also one of the options. Then when we are not talking about the tourist visa, if someone is considering maybe Vietnam will be their new home. Of course, the options are limited, but I recently learned that there is a new one, so the standard one is, of course, if you have a Vietnamese wife or husband, then this is one option. The second option is that you can have a company in Vietnam, and that sounds tricky, but there is one interesting thing is that you can set up a consulting business which will cost you between like $3,000 to $5,000, and then you can apply for permanent residency with this business, and this is just a business for yourself. So that's something that I recently learned that works pretty well. I would say that there are different options. It's not hard, it's just rather needs to be planned ahead. And the government here is rather making it easier for foreigners to come and stay rather than trying to find some ways to keep people away from Vietnam. they understand that this is for their own good. So
yeah. So generally speaking, pretty friendly towards, it's not like they're trying to look for reasons to kick you out. They're more saying you just got to go through the mm-hmm. process. And when you mentioned a visa run to Laos, can you elaborate on that for somebody who might not be familiar with that term, and then sort of going on a step further, like what does that process look like if you've had to do it before? Like, you know,
I've never, process, yeah, I've,
or, okay.
Yeah, I've never done it. This is just something that our friends were doing. But basically, you're just going to a different country for the purpose of crossing the border and going back. So you're showing that, for example, you are for a month or 3 months in Vietnam, and then you're leaving Vietnam, and then you're coming back, so you can start you can apply for a new visa. But there are also different options. They I believe just cost a bit more, but then if you consider the time investment and like accommodation, etc., then it's similar. But basically it's about going out and in the country and applying again for visa. So there's no magic, I would say.
Yeah. No big secret there. And so the initial process to come, let's say I want to go I want to stay there for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And my plan is to just, you know, renew that one or two more times, whatever, but let's just start with the initial process. That is something you can do online. Just kind of Google, like, 3 month visa. Is it called a tourist visa or?
Yes, it's called a tourist visa. You can Google it. There are special agencies that are doing all the paperwork for you. And then after it's approved, I don't remember, but it takes a couple of weeks, if I remember correctly. And then they're sending this back to you. You're printing this out, and then when you're coming, you have the visa. I believe that there is an option for a visa on arrival, but I don't know if it's for shorter periods or only for certain countries. But Uncle Google knows more than I do, so I would suggest to talk with the guy.
Yeah. We're only asking you to speak about your experiences and not dive too deep into this. But it's good to know, like, that's generally the landscape around this. You can go. You just need to apply ahead of time. You can renew it.
Yeah.
If needed, you can border hop and come back. And so these are all options. So what about, like, we'll kind of wrap this up here in just a minute, but kind of from the perspective of an expat living there, what's the expat community like? Are there certain forums, you know, forums mm-hmm. that people should go to ask questions, any particular bits of information you could share there?
Yes. So in general, I would say that there is a growing community of expats in Vietnam, people really from different parts of the world, different backgrounds. So one of the hesitations and things that people are afraid of when it comes to making such a change in life is that, hey, will I find friends there, right? And the good news is that if you will force yourself to go out and meet new people, there are new people to meet here, open-minded, and for sure you will make a lot of new friends. It's not just Vietnam, but in the places that we discussed, Bali, Thailand, like, the communities are there. You just need to go and go out of your comfort zone in many cases. And speaking about the forums and, like, how you can look it up. So look for communities around co-working or co-living spaces. So that's, like, one easy destination. And this is probably one of the few, I would say, offline communities, so you can actually go and see people there. Other communities are mainly Facebook groups on different topics. In most cases, there is the name of the city and then it follows something. So if you'll be looking for, like, Hoi An or Da Nang, you'll find a bunch of Facebook groups, and then people are really friendly and are helping also for people that are thinking about moving or visiting. So there are also Vietnamese people on these groups, so you can also get some like advices from locals. So I would say that community is here. It's easy to find. It's absolutely doable to build your friend circle and feel like at home, and also meet people really from different countries with different perspectives on lives, which also opens up your mind to many things, which is a topic for a very long and a different episode of your podcast. So I hope season two, whenever it comes,
yeah,
season three.
we will dive into that, because that's the beauty of indulging in another country in such a deep way is, you know, not just the interactions obviously with the locals, but also with other expats. And I mean, I think you probably find, at least I have, that, like, when you're a foreigner living in another country, and there are generally other foreigners from other parts of the world, there is sort of a uniting feeling. It doesn't have to be people from your country or your part of the world, but there's sort of, like, a uniting feeling, like, we're all sort of in this together. And I enjoy as much as anybody going out for a paella with a group of Spanish people, but I also love going out for some other, you know, for some pizza with a group of Italians living here in Spain as well. So it's just cool to, like, to have those experiences and sort of be united by this, like, we're all in this foreign land together sort of thing.
Yes, absolutely. But also speaking about the locals, actually, here in Vietnam. Because of the language barrier, it's not that easy to bond with Vietnamese people. Of course, once you find someone that speaks very, very good English, then having in mind what I said earlier, that they're extremely friendly and really, really, really nice people, then it's eye opening when you're starting a conversation. Like, for example, we had in mountains when we spent basically the whole night with one guy from Hanoi and one guy from Saigon, and they were telling us that basically, if someone knows history, like Vietnam was divided into two countries, and although right now it's one country, there are so many differences. So also the culture, the local culture is it's really amazing to be here and understand and talk about it with locals. So it's kind of like finding the balance. But here in Vietnam, it's a bit harder when it comes to getting the on the same communication level. But they're improving. Like every time I go to some coffee shop, I see people learning English. So they will get there. Fingers crossed.
that's a great point. I actually meant to ask you about this. I'm glad you brought it up. So it sounds like, and just correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like not speaking or speaking Vietnamese is not necessary. You don't need it to live there and feel comfortable living there. However,
Google
connecting
Translate.
With the locals. Yeah.
Yeah.
But connecting with the locals in a deep way would be, is that fair to say?
Yes. I mean, if you're able to find these locals, then it's like mind blowing that the things that you're learning and getting a totally another perspective, like the ones that we discussed about expats. So I strongly encourage everyone wherever you are, if it's Vietnam or some other countries, some people fall into the trap where they're just spending time with other foreigners, which is also great, but it's sometimes worth to better understand the community that you live in.
That's a great tip and piece of advice and a perfect way to wrap this up, I think. So I will stop drilling you with questions, let you get back to your real work as CEO at Remote How. Thank you so much. If you have anything else you want to share really quick, any other last pieces of advice or whatever, feel free to. But otherwise, this was just super fun. I love chatting with you whenever we get the chance to anyways. And diverging from normal work stuff and talking about life and how to make this this sort of dream a reality is a real pleasure for me. So thank you for joining and all the insights.
Thank you so much, Chase. And it's always a great pleasure to speak with you synchronously, because majority of our conversations happen asynchronously. So I hope that this is the next step. So in 2021, we'll move from the virtual also to the offline world. It was a great pleasure to have this conversation with you. I wish you a best of luck. Stay happy. Stay safe. And let's keep your fingers crossed for the remote work revolution to enable as many people as possible to have the freedom where they live and how they work.
Absolutely. We'll keep pushing that envelope and look forward to hopefully crossing paths in real life here before too long. Thanks a lot, Ivo, and we'll speak again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in today from wherever you are in the world. Once again, I'm Chase, and this has been another episode of About Abroad. You can visit aboutabroad.com to get our latest updates and listen to past episodes, or find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, really anywhere you get your podcasts. On that note, if you enjoyed the show, feel free to subscribe, and if inclined, leave a few stars and a review. It's truly, truly appreciated and will help more wanderers just like you find us. Until the next time, adios from España.
Thank you.